Pleasure to have in our studios Ricardo Alarcón de Quesada, former Minister of Foreign Affairs of Cuba, who was a former president of the Assembly of Cuba too. And thank you very much, Alarcón, from being here in our studios in Radio Havana, Cuba.
No, thank you to you.
Alarcón, I would like to begin in this interview with you, asking you, what is your opinion about the recent measures that Donald Trump took against Cuba, the government of Donald Trump?
Well, I think that those measures are a reflection of a failed policy. It's like Mr. Trump and his regime acting out of despair, desperation, and anger against a people that they have not been able to defeat. What is the meaning of those measures? The measures are, by the way, new restrictions on traveling between the U.S. and Cuba. Restrictions for charter flights to various parts of the island.
To the Cuban provinces.
Exactly. Who are the people that had been using those flights? Cubans. Cubans living in the United States territory. For many years, the pretense of the U.S. policy towards Cuba was allegedly based on the desire, the wishes of the Cuban Americans, the Cubans living in the States. Allegedly, according to the U.S. propaganda, they imposed the embargo, they attacked Cuba, because they wanted to satisfy the Cuban Americans, the Cuban living in Florida mainly. What happened? They are punishing now the Cuban people living in Florida. They are those who have been using those flights and who will continue to travel to Cuba one way or another. I remember very well, years back, when George W. Bush imposed similar limitations for traveling between the U.S. and Cuba, I remember a very distinguished lady, Republican, a conservative lady, Joan Emerson, who spoke on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives, and she said, those measures are going to fail because nobody on earth can tell me if I can visit my mother, my uncle, my grandfather, and I will find a way to reach them, to communicate with them, no matter what President Bush may think. Now, we can say the same to Mr. Trump. By the way, our foreign minister, yesterday, I think, gave the data concerning the number of Cubans living abroad that had visited Cuba last year. It's a large part of the Cuban immigration that visited Cuba last year. And I can assure you that this year and next year, that trend will continue. No matter what Mr. Trump and his gang can devise against the Cubans. The point is this, okay? He's attacking the Cubans living in the state. He's punishing them. He's not a candidate for re-election next year?
In November 2020.
November 2020. Well, the year 2020. 2020 means a clear vision. I hope that those who vote in that election will go there 2020 to say no, to reject that policy in the polls.
He recently was having an interview in Spanish, Alarcón. in here in Radio Havana, Cuba. You was mentioning something very important to bring here, the issue that Trump is not going to be forever in the White House.
No, Trump will live 100 years. There is no Trump who able to live 100 years, and there is no world capable of supporting that. No hay mal que dure 100 años, no hay Trump que dure 100 años, ni mundo que lo soporte. Que lo resista es la expresión, pero como resista, resist has two meanings. Of course there is resistance against that policy. Could you tell me just one, the name of one country, of one government in the entire world, in the entire planet, that is supporting Trump's policy at this moment? Take the best example, Iraq. The last war was to intervene in Iraq. They killed Saddam Hussein. They occupied that country. They helped bring a new government who is now empowering in Iraq. And that government is asking the U.S. to get out.
Leave the country.
To leave the country. Even the Iraqi government, who is not was not particularly anti-American, has been forced. Why? By this absolutely irrational policy that Mr. Trump represents.
Well, and also, before we end this interview, Alarcón, I would like to ask you, what is your opinion about this, you know, this war with the U.S. with Iran? You was mentioned that too. Thousands of Americans, they're marching in different states against that war.
Exactly. And that has not been sufficiently covered by the big media. At every important city in the U.S., there has been demonstrations, people who are opposing a war that has not yet been developed. There is a great, great threat that the world may be going to that war. Remember what happened during the Vietnam War. It was a big, big mass movement that forced the U.S. to abandon that war and to withdraw and so on. But that movement was built up when American corpses began to reach the U.S. American soldiers being losing their lives down there. Now, there have not been American casualties, but there have been thousands upon thousands of Americans protesting on the streets in the U.S. That's a very important development that should be taken into account. Of course, they think that they can have a war just by pushing buttons and with this technological weaponry that they have. But at the end, and that was Fidel Castro's admonition in those years, I remember, in order to defeat somebody, you have to occupy that country. You have to get there, to establish there. And now they did that in Iraq. And now they are being invited to leave, to get out of the country. By whom? By the Iraqis. Not just the Iranians, not the left, not the other forces in the Middle East, but even the Iraqi government. I think that is a very interesting development, what is going on in the U.S., that should be more covered, more reported by the media.
Well, in Alarcón, it was a real pleasure to have you here in the studios of Radio Havana, Cuba. But last year, we had a chance to share with you in the Higher Institute of International Relations with another people in the panel, and you was part of the panel talk about the blockade and all that. It was a question that I received, it was too late to ask that question to you. But the world experience that you have, you know, in the Cuban government, the Cuban revolution, the question was for a little kid, 10 years old kid. They was asking why the U.S. government don't allow to leave Cuba in peace.
I think that has to go. The answer would require going back to history. The ambitions of certain sectors, the ruling classes in the U.S. to dominate Cuba is older than the Cuban Republic, even older than the North American Republic. It goes all the way back to the origin of the so-called American Revolution. The Carlos Manuel de Céspedes, the Cuban initiator of our independence movement, the padre de la patria, as we call him, the father of our motherland or homeland, said that as early as 1870, in a message that he sent to the Cuban emigration. There were thousands upon thousands of Cubans living in those days, especially in New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, that part of the U.S. He told them the secret of the U.S. policy is to dominate Cuba, to take over Cuba, apoderarse de Cuba, to take over Cuba. And at the same time, he advised the Cuban emigration that they should try to promote solidarity with the American people, the North American people, because they were not part of that design of absorption of the Cuban nation. Solidarity, friendship with the American people, and vigilance, awareness of the risk, the threat that U.S. imperial policy posed against Cuba. That has been the combination of Cuban policy since then until now. The reality is the same. We still have now a gang of very aggressive, very irresponsible bunch of people governing in Washington that pretend to do whatever they want to, whatever occurs to them in the early morning, but they are very isolated. The entire world reject that policy, and of course the Cubans will never abide by that pretense of being dominated by them.
Well, thank you very much, Arcon, for answering all these questions in this interview. It was a pleasure to have you here in the studios of Radio Havana, Cuba.